The interviewee is Chris Gerner Dott. It is February 14th, 1995. The interviewer is Monique Lyon. Okay. Let's just start about, when did you attend Union College?
I attended Union College from September 1982 to June of 1986. So for 4 years.
Right. And now how are you associated with the college?
Well, I'm just completing my fourth year. I guess things here for me happen in rounds of four. I'm completing my fourth year working in the admissions office. That's be pretty exciting.
And
come back and serve my alma mater.
Certainly. Certainly linked to the college as
yeah.
well. What are your first memories of Union?
I guess my first memories of Union are pretty similar to what I hear from students still today. It's something they struggle with in the admissions office, struggle to overcome. Union is such a historical place, yet our recognition out there in the world is not necessarily in line with the strength of the institution. I grew up, I was born in New Jersey and I graduated high school in New Jersey, though I spent some time in there out of the state of New Jersey. And in New Jersey, Union just didn't have, people hadn't heard of Union. They had heard of Union County Community College, even though I grew up northern, north of New Jersey. But when I was really excited by the place Union College, they were like, oh, So those were some of my early memories. I also was really excited about the fact that a lot of students from my high school, and I went to Tenafly High School in northern Jersey, were not necessarily attending Union. I wanted to go somewhere a little bit different. And Union struck me right from the moment that I arrived here. There's something just a little bit different about Union. And I came here in February of, I guess, 82, during a snowstorm. I had applied, and I guess I was pretty close to the interview deadline.
You're
funny looking back at that. Huge snowstorm, and I had a really great tour guide who was kind of goofy, very tall, and he wore a plaid golf hat with a huge pom-pom. And he was tremendously charismatic, and he showed us all around campus. And I knew then that it was going to be a good place for me, and I really, really liked it. A lot of people were associated with the college. So those were some of my first memories.
Yeah.
Also, my parents hadn't heard of it, and I guess because they had never heard of it and I wanted it so badly at that point, I had a stronger connection to the school because it wasn't going to be easy. My parents
defending it.
Desperately wanted me to attend Vassar College, and I think my life would be very different had I gone.
Wow. Yeah. Do you know approximately what the male-female ratio was around this?
Right now?
No, when you
then.
Attended.
I'm not sure. You know, it's so funny, since I work with students nowadays, perception of what numbers are in reality are often very different, but I'll just take a stab at this so you can go back and check it out. My sense was that it was probably about 35% female, and what would that leave, 65% male. That is my guess.
Mm-hmm.
They were still, I think, aggressively recruiting women at that time, and certainly some facilities here were not quite up to par for women at the time.
For example?
Well, it's funny. I guess one thing that just is very clear to me, I was an athlete, a student athlete when I was at Union. I played varsity volleyball. And I still remember going into the basement of Fieldhouse and all women, fall sports, changed into very small rooms. We had a very small locker room, and we also had a very small kind of room to shower in. And the men's facilities, my guess was that they were larger. I know that we had some trailers off to the side to accommodate, you know, some of the men's teams, and the women's sports teams just didn't seem as high profile. But I think the facilities are greatly enhanced these days. And what was also interesting is that's something that came out as a frustrating factor for me once I was here. I saw all those things when I was looking at the school, and it didn't register for me at that time. My desire to come was greater than, you know, kind of checking those facilities compared to some other schools.
Did you ever feel in the classroom discriminated against, or even within the student body, because it was a predominantly male makeup?
You know, I don't think I was particularly aware of women's issues at the time. My awareness of kind of my feminist side and women's issues came about through my attending Union. I don't think that those were issues that were necessarily in the forefront for me as a 17-year-old. I think my greatest awareness at that point in time were probably my hormones going great, the male-female ratio, because I was going to have a better dating
but
life.
By your senior year or so, did you
consciously think of it or just kind of accepted it?
Became much more aware.
Okay.
Because of some of the experiences that I had had here in raising awareness for those issues, being involved with residence life, looking at women's issues, having been away from the for a year, I spent my entire junior year abroad. But one thing, it's funny that you mentioned that. I did have an interesting experience in my first year. I had a professor who has had a long connection with Union. He's not teaching here now. And I still remember one of my first experiences frustrated. I was frustrated that I couldn't seem to break the B-plus barrier in his class. And so I went and said, you know, listen, I study with these other people and they seem to be doing better. What am I not doing correctly? What could I do to improve my grade here? And looking back on it, I now remember the answer having been, that's the best grade I've ever given a woman. But, and I, you know, I was kind of shocked at that time, and it, he had gone to school here, and he'd been affiliated with Union a long, long, long time, and certainly seemed to have a fondness for it in the, looking back, for it being an all-male institution. But anyway, my moment of sweet success, of course, was when I ended up with an A-minus in class. But that was probably, that was really my only experience in facing sexism directly. And he was a very old man then, you know, I guess I took it from where it came.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's understandable.
The other thing is that probably the majority of my classes were pretty evenly balanced, even at that point, because I studied psychology and German literature here, and those tended to be more women. So I think that women students, not necessarily women professors, I think I can count women, my women professors on one hand during my 4 years at Union.
So it's, you have a very interesting perspective, being that you've come back and almost 10 years later. Have you seen improvements?
I think, I mean, in the physical facility, yes, I think we're better equipped to handle women. I mean, we should. We're at a 50-50, or almost a 50-50. I think 54% male, 46% female overall. I think we work harder at making sure that we have women professors here, and that often is pretty challenging. I think we've come further, yeah. But I still see the same kind of women here. I don't think Union ever compromised itself, and it's interesting as admissions officers, we work to bring together a class. I never felt, and it would probably be interesting to ask someone from back then as they were mixing the class, I never felt that the women here were of, not inferior quality, that's the wrong word, but mm-hmm. I didn't feel like they had to stretch as far for women, that the women who came here were very capable and motivated and assertive,
mm-hmm.
and I still see that today
mm-hmm.
in our female student body.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to be the volunteers, the people who step forward, right, hit the ground running, where I see the guys kind of a little, you know, it takes a while for them
mm-hmm.
to kind of come into their own.
Well, there have been studies done, and it's proving just what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, I mean, this is a difficult question, but do you know why, or do you have any hypotheses on why such women are attracted to this institution?
I don't know. I think Union attracts a certain kind of a kid, a real purposeful, directed kid, male or female.
Mm-hmm.
I think Union is an outcomes-oriented school. People sense that when they come and visit here, that our students come here with a purpose. They're not just going to graduate and say, hey, wow, that was great. You know, all I had was a wonderful 4 years. I'm now purely filled with theoretical knowledge. I think our students take the theoretical and have a practical and to figure out a way to practically apply that and leave here with connections,
mm-hmm.
with the direction, and the resources to be successful once they leave Union. And that kind of a quality, that the purposefulness of our kids is attractive to people
mm-hmm.
who come visit us. It's attractive to parents when they're asked to pay $28,000 a year to educate their student. I also think that those kinds of students, because of some of the things in the admissions picture that we allow to play less of an emphasis, a student can compensate for, let's say, modest testing, or maybe just a solid B record with an assertive, directive personality. So doers are attractive
mm-hmm.
to this, are attracted to this community and are attractive to us as we seek to fill our community. So I don't know. I guess that, but maybe that's always been true about union people that I've talked
mm-hmm.
to. So I don't know. I guess women are attracted to that, who know that they can come here and get what they need
mm-hmm.
and get lots of things that they need, and also be in the company of other women who are on the move.
Do you think that the college has changed, and as a result of there being more women on campus now?
I guess, sure. You know, of course it has. There are women here now where there weren't for 175 years. I don't know. You know, because I've only known Union as a co-ed institution.
Right.
And I don't know so many people who, even though I run into alumni, you know, they often talk about women more kind of in a dating sense,
right.
Which I think is always very, is interesting. When we were a single-sex institution, all-male institution, you know, women for these guys were a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, let's go to Skidmore and go
right.
on a date. Let's go to Smith and get a date. So that's always kind of odd
right.
to meet these guys who weren't necessarily, it seems to me, looking at women as kind of intellectual peers. So I don't know.
Okay.
You know, I would imagine it has to.
I mean, even from when you attended being 35% to it now being mm-hmm. around 46%. Or that you just really didn't see it to be an issue.
I guess I didn't really see it as an issue for myself when I was a student here. What's interesting, after I left, I went to work at an all-women, a college that had traditionally been all-women. And that, to me, also was kind of an awakening of women's issues in higher education, support issues for women, gender modeling, all that kind of stuff came out for me when I worked at a college that had been historically women and gone co-ed the other way and admitting men. And then after that, I went to another college that had a men's college that had been there for a long, long time, and then built a women's college and eventually that women's college was absorbed, and that has an interesting history. So my 8 years as an educational administrator, I've gone to some very interesting, different places. I think the place that has, I think Union maybe has had the easiest time of going co-ed in that way, and most successful by our indicators of being able to keep up academic
mm-hmm.
selectivity and all of that, and have people be at peace with the way it really is. I think Union is beautifully uncomplex in that way. I think Union students don't really wrestle with the bigger political issues of life, and that makes it easier, I think, sometimes to live here if you're within that comfort zone. It also makes it easier to sell this place because people see happy, content students.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone's looking for a politically active place or someone wants to radically change, Union doesn't change quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I guess, I don't know if we've changed. Maybe we're just satisfied with the way things are.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? And I know this interview, boy, maybe.
You know, you're right. I've never seen it to be an issue on campus. And I really haven't been denied anything because it's just not an issue. And I'll say that easily, and I think that's a great thing to be able to say.
Yeah.
And even, you know, more than 10 years ago, you could say the same thing. I think that's pretty significant.
I also think our students, well, not that they're not complex, but they're wonderfully directed in, this is what I want, and it's going to happen for me, and our students are usually used to getting their way.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to be weighted down or let speed bumps hit them. So I don't think there have been huge hindrances for women at Union. Have things always been easy? No. Is 50% of our faculty female? No. I don't think our female students take a big issue with that, but they also won't let that stand in the way
mm-hmm.
of their own personal success. So in that way, I think students have remained the same.
Yeah.
Union kids are going to be successful. They may not be the brightest kids on the paper planet, but they're going to be successful.
Right. I think certainly motivated.
Yeah.
But one thing that I guess maybe it's because I'm in my senior year now. One thing that does bother me is that I find that women seem to be in charge of many, many of the clubs and organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious as to, you know, why that is. And that's kind of what I was hitting on before when I asked you, why do you think that, or they do the best academically, their peers is higher than the male average. So just, you know, if there was anything of women coming in that maybe they seem stronger, maybe if it's Union itself that, you know, kind of form these strong women on campus to achieve that.
I don't know, or perhaps we're just you know, benefiting from the fact that women just mature more quickly than men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's that seems to be biologically supported.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe hit the ground running.
Mm-hmm.
As 18-year-olds may just be kind of one step ahead of some of the guys. I can tell you when I interview 17-year-olds, and you've done this for us too, Monique, the women as a whole seem to be more comfortable with themselves. The guys are still kind of have the baseball cap pulling down a little bit, shuffling their feet a little bit more. Standout 17-year-old male interviews are easier to identify because they're rarer. I think in the interview, this is just my sense, where most of the women that I meet, the young women that I interview, seem to already kind of be falling into that
mm-hmm.
directive, purposeful, pulling together, a little more comfortable in their own skin.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my guess, is they just hit the ground running just a little bit faster. So they establish their strong GPAs
mm-hmm.
first, and you
mm-hmm.
know if you start out strongly, you're going to end
right.
in a strong position, whereas if you start out with a 1.5, it's going to, no matter how hard you work,
right.
it's going to be very hard to bring that GPA up to a 3.5 overall. So I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe it's just larger issues rather than just women. This is also just a kind of general question.
Sure.
Being that you have worked at two institutions that have been single sex, why do you think that there was such a demand for co-education in general when there are very few schools that have remained in single sex?
Right. And the ones that, I think there are one or two all-male institutions still out there in the United States, and there are many more women's institutions. I've got to believe it came out of the women's movement.
Really?
I think so. That's probably part of it. This is my guess. The other thing is, it probably came economically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be foolish not to have gone co-ed. Women were, and that for many places doubled the enrollment. If you look at Union historically, it was a school that had, I think, 800 to 1,000 men. And when we started adding women, we grew more. To better prepare our students. It's the same thing that we talk about in the area of making our community more ethnically diverse.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, you're going to be working with women in the workplace, whether it be engineering, biology, psychology. You know, that's a reality-based education. And while I think there is room for single-sex education, most places aren't doing it.
Yeah.
And that's not a terribly sophisticated answer, but that's just kind of off the top of my head at the end of the day thoughts.
Also, I believe there's a majority of the biology majors on this campus are women, slightly.
Yeah, 52%. I would check that, but I think more than half of the bio majors are women. And actually, another interesting fact that I think I've seen somewhere, and I get this in the admissions office, so I should have these numbers nailed down a little bit more. But I've heard that something like 60 to 65% of our math majors are women. And somewhere between like 54 and 58% of our biology majors are women. Women are doing well here in the sciences. The one area where we're still woefully behind in women's numbers is engineering.
Mm-hmm.
But those are some. It's interesting, and I think it's really neat. And I know when I talk to families of young women who are looking at co-educational environments but want their daughters to go on to higher education, the fact that slightly over half of our bio majors are women and that they're doing well is very impressive to them in the math majors.
Mm-hmm.
As well. But I wish I could say the same about engineering, and I just isn't sure.
That's a national trend as well.
Yeah, sure is.
Women engineers are highly marked in work. Let's see what else. So you overall, I mean, it's obvious that you think that coeducation is a positive thing.
Definitely.
But women seem to have, from working in admissions, I mean, in my mind, it just doesn't even seem like 25 years ago this was an all-male institution, just the way that people come here. I mean, you just never think about it. What do you think makes Union so appealing and to women, being that historically, we did have this history, although there doesn't seem to be many traces of it anymore, or at least on the outside. Why do you think so many?
I think because it's a great education, and it's an education with results. It's a very comfortable community. I think women can come here, and especially with the almost half of the population being female, people feel very comfortable seeing opportunities for themselves mm-hmm. here. Union's historical strengths in the applied sciences are also, I think because we have that with liberal arts, it's a high comfort zone for women to come here and study biology or even study engineering where they're going to be underrepresented. Because they can come to this community and maybe in their engineering classes they're going to be a minority. But when they leave engineering and lab at the end of the day, they can go into single-sex all-women's residence halls, they can go into co-ed residence halls, they can go to the dining hall and have the company of women. And that is, I know that's very important to me.
That's a really interesting point.
And when I talk to young women who are looking at technical schools, let's say like a Rensselaer or Clarkson, mm-hmm. where the male-female ratio is out of balance, they seem more at ease here. And they have to decide to go to that institution and say the technological opportunities there are more important to me than my own comfort level as a woman. And here they don't necessarily have to make that specific compromise. So that's why I think it's attractive. I think people can come and do what they need to do, yet still find folks like themselves.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I never thought of it. Being that you're in admission to your very unique position because you're always in touch with the student body as well as faculty and administration, have you heard any criticisms from either side in terms of gender representation, or if you have at all, it's possible that it's never been discussed?
I've heard from faculty that they find our women pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. That we bring in. Again, hit the ground running for the most part, really directed, focused, successful, that kind of stuff. And that guys take a little more growing, so to speak. And that's not the case with everyone, but that's sort of just a generalization.
Right.
From students, some students have said to me, you know, in certain disciplines that they wish there was a greater representation of women professors. But for the most part, no, I don't really hear. Union students don't tend to be critical of the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
I find union students often, you know, their criticisms are very kind of specific and tend to be more on a day-to-day and sometimes terribly minute mm-hmm. issue. You know, more like, I can't get a parking space on campus versus, gee, I'm concerned that the government is cutting back on aiding to schools and how will that impact the institution. And I guess in that way, you know, union's kids are beautifully uncomplex. So, no, I haven't really heard of great dissatisfaction. People, for the most part, tend to be pretty satisfied. You know, they know what they're coming in for, and they know what they mm-hmm. want to get out of it.
What you said earlier, you mentioned something about the SATs, and I just remember reading some people saying that it was biased. Nationally, men score better than women.
I'm not an expert in that area. I mean, I can tell you some superficial kind of overviews on it. Anne Brown has been more involved with the testing side of things here, but it's been shown that men still outperform women on the math section of the SAT, and also on the verbal section, which is surprising. But the gap is greater in math than it is in verbal,
mm-hmm.
which is not surprising. Given national trends and biases. But you know, that's one of the reasons why. I mean, the SAT has been optional here, I think, for 8 years. And in order to get the word out and to encourage people in humanities and social sciences to apply to union, to not de-emphasize our strengths, but to make sure that the world also, that the reality of, you know, political science,
mm-hmm.
English, history, those areas, philosophy, classics, you know, that people would understand that union was not just a math science place, and also more welcoming to women who tend to be even more anxious about their testing sometimes than
mm-hmm.
the guys I interview, which is my brother's lady.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So yeah, you know, there have been studies, and what I think is very interesting is what we did 8 years ago. Good old, you know, rock solid, you know, steady as we go Union College. Sometimes incredibly innovative, other times, you know, slow to change. We made the SAT one optional long ago, and now more and more schools are doing that as the recruitment market gets more and more competitive
mm-hmm.
because we're seeing a nation of students who are not well prepared, learn differently, you know, or that test is just not doing what it's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if, in fact, by making the SATs optional, if that's somehow drawn women who are very strong academically but haven't tested well to the institution, and maybe that has some bearing on the work ethic that women seem to have.
I think you're definitely right. And not only women, I think students in general, male and female students, a hard worker has a better chance of being admitted to, a hard worker and a modest tester has a better chance of being admitted to union than a high tester and a modest worker. Because who would you rather be in the classroom with?
I'm a hard worker.
Yeah. Is this true confession here today?
On tape, Noah.
Yeah, right.
Putting me on the spot. I'm trying to think. So, I mean, basically, you know, that's been very helpful.
Sure.
Just looking down at my list of questions, did you have many women professors for you? I know you hit on it, but that there were far fewer, but did you have many?
Not many. I had some great women professors, Martha Huggins, real lively, you know, kind of encouraging me to think. Professor Kellinger, Sigrid Kellinger, he's still here. A lot of these professors are still here with us, which is great. And it'd be really interesting to kind of hear what they have to say, watching co-education. I had Susie Benack in the psychology department. But then almost the rest of my professors there were male. And these are, again, in fields that women, I think students, were well represented in those days. But no, I didn't have, most of my professors here were male. And for most of them, I'd say it really wasn't an issue.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel that my sex was an issue. But I would imagine, I hope that we've made some strides in hiring a few more women faculty members, but I don't know. I don't know what those numbers were back then, you know, and my sense is now, and numbers, are they real? Do I have the real numbers?
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you include tenured and non-tenured, and a lot of the women faculty tend to be non-tenured faculty members, I think, it's about a third, and that's pushing it on the high end.
Mm-hmm.
So we still have a ways to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I guess, just as a kind of summation question, mm-hmm. overall, I mean, your experience here really wasn't affected.
No, I don't think so. I had a wonderful, wonderful experience at Union. It was a time where I grew an awful lot. It was one of the first times I felt really free in college. I felt like I could take a lot of risks. It was a wonderful community for me to just leave what kind of high school had been behind and to start anew. And I had great people who guided me through that. You know, some of my favorite professors here, who are just good friends to me, are still here today,
mm-hmm.
and were actually male professors,
mm-hmm.
You know, who guided me along, and I felt very close to and encouraged by. My advisors were all male. I have no women advisors. And when I look back on it, probably the ways that I grew the most were really outside of the classroom and the experiences that I had and getting involved with organizations and serving the community, which I really enjoyed. So I had a wonderful company of women. I playing a fall sport with about 8 other women, 9 other women, gave me a wonderful, wonderful base.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not join a sorority while I was here.
Mm-hmm.
So it was great, really great. Looking back on it now as a 30-year-old woman, you know, if I went as a 30-year-old back to a college experience now, which of course you can't do,
mm-hmm.
I would probably have higher standards and have more demands and higher expectations and probably push people harder on
mm-hmm.
things. But, you know, it was the place for me. I got a wonderful foundation here. And it gave me a foundation to ask questions of in my next stages in life. And so I guess my consciousness as a woman stayed the same as it had been in high school. But when I got out of here, I had been given the tools to ask some really
mm-hmm.
important questions. And you know, and that has stayed with me my whole so far. And I just went into other environments that were different from Union. You know, the place I worked after this was Skidmore College. There is no football team. There is no Greek system. there's a higher percentage of women. You know, so that's very, very different. And then I went off to a place called Hamilton College, and Hamilton and Kirkland College had a very kind of rocky blending period.
Mm-hmm.
So you have very interesting and raise some questions and concerns and things that I bring to this job now.
Mm-hmm.
We try to make sure that union students are well prepared, and this is a nurturing, wonderful place for all. And I think we've made great strides in the area of women. We still have a ways to go.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure that everyone feels included and can kind of reach their
mm-hmm.
potential.
But when you do go out there and recruit and try to find the best kids, is it even an issue you have to target and women or?
Not really. We're lucky. We've gotten to such a point now where union sells itself,
mm-hmm.
And we don't have to be gender aware in the process. You know, we still have needs that we're looking. We want to make sure that the class is 50-50.
Right.
It just tends to work out that way, which is really nice. You know, there are other issues that we pay attention to. But to answer your question, no, we really don't have to. It's a number that we're aware of as we're kind of zeroing in at the end of the class,
mm-hmm.
and we may make a few minor adjustments,
mm-hmm.
but it's not something major. That when we look at a woman, we say, okay, this is a female candidate. As we go through the pool, it works out pretty well.
That's really great.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, do you have any opinions of sorority life? I'm sure if it's bigger now than it was before.
I guess it is bigger now. When I was here, there were, I think, three sororities.
Mm-hmm.
SDT, DG,